1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
That's right, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. The president has asked us to begin to recirculate money into the economy. Why not spend it at Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great steak?
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's at Beverly Hills, and Ted is with us from his restaurant in Beverly Hills right now. Ted, welcome to the program. And that message on your commercial, by the way, is one that you are encouraging across the board, aren't you?
Right, absolutely, Phil. We are asking people to consider when it comes to getting money flowing back through the economy. President Bush, I think, has made it very clear that he would like all of us to let's get back to normal. Let's feel confident in our country. Let's start spending our money again in the academy. We'd love for you to do it at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills is a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, and you got a great meal. But I guess it's a message that everybody can offer, every business.
Well, I don't know what everybody else has in mind. We think it's a great message. We think it's a strong message. We appreciate the president delivering it. It's a great thing. And we invite you, respectfully, and all of your listeners, Phil, that when it comes to your dining needs, to consider Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got a great porterhouse steak. It's grilled in a cast iron skillet. We got the world-famous foil-wrapped Ted's baked potato for Mom and Dad the Ted. It's a great adult beverage.
And that's, what is it, Meyer's rum? And
no, it's Captain Morgan's and Coke.
That's the Ted.
That's right. And
you got some kids' drinks, right?
You bet we do, Phil. For the young boys, we have the Ted Jr., which is root beer, and for the girls, the Theodora, which is cream soda. So come on down and spend. I think when it comes time to start spending your money again, let's get the money back into the economy. Let's quit being scared about supporting America. Come on down to Ted's and have a great meal.
Well, I think it's a positive message for a lot of business, yourself included, obviously, Ted taking the lead. I notice here, and we have an updated menu.
That's right. We faxed that over to you earlier, Phil.
Okay. You were getting $20.95 for your 10-ounce porterhouse, and I noticed the price at your steakhouse has gone to $24.95. Now, are these price increases recent?
Phil, the president has very, very clearly asked us to spend money to help the economy, and I think it's offensive, and I think it's in bad taste for you to bring up my prices.
Well, Ted, certainly you don't mind people knowing how much they're going to spend on a steak, right?
That really has nothing to do with what we're talking about right here on your program, and I believe you know that. This is about getting money circulating back into the economy. And
how getting money back into the economy? I mean, I'm talking about your steakhouse.
No, but I notice you're saying, well, Ted's in Beverly Hills, let's look at the menu. Ooh, it looks like you've got a price increase. Why would you do that?
I don't mean anything by that.
Well, I find that difficult to believe. Why would you do that on a day that you knew I was going to come on your program? And
you're making this into more of a black eye than it has to be. I noticed that you have raised the price of your porterhouse.
Yeah, from $20.95 to $24.95. And I don't know what that has to do with what we're talking. I think it's in bad taste to ask me about prices. The only way we can get money pumped back into the economy quickly is, yes, by executing a modest price adjustment.
But the price of the porterhouse went up $4.
And I think what you're doing right now, Phil, is unpatriotic. I think you're being un-American to discuss this at a time like this. But if you must know, Ted...
Well, wait a second, man. I'm not being unpatriotic. I'm asking you why, when you come on my program and say, hey, everybody, let's do what President Bush wants us to do. Let's go out and spend money again. I noticed that your price went up. How's that unpatriotic?
It's unpatriotic because I think it attacks a businessman who is trying to do a good thing by the American people. If you must know, Ted's of Beverly Hills is going to be sponsoring a firefighters' night, and it'll be this Friday.
Oh, you're hosting?
We're having all area firemen will be honored at Ted's of Beverly Hills. All area for the Los Angeles area firemen who did a lot, as a fireman across the country did, in sending supplies and help for the New York firemen. Yes.
And you're having them in on Friday?
Yes. The only firefighters and their families will be allowed in.
All right. Now, then I owe you an apology.
Well, Phil, this is what I mean. You got to listen to everything that a guy's going to say.
All right. Let me give a phone number out here on the Phil Henry Show. It's 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is encouraging, along with many other businessmen, for you to go out and spend your money. Come on down to Ted's. And spend it at Ted's. You increased the price of a porterhouse steak.
But you didn't let me get out the fact that that we're having this firefighters' night.
Well, let me apologize.
Well, it's all right. All of our nerves are frayed, Phil.
And I think it's an outstanding offer and a wonderful thing for our firefighters.
Thank you, Phil.
And will you have a special menu?
You know what? The standard Ted's of Beverly Hills menu, we are very proud of it, and we want all of our great firefighters to sample our great steaks.
Now, who is the evening benefiting?
It's going to benefit our firefighters, who, as you know, here in California, have sent assistance to the great men and women of the New York Fire Department.
No, but I mean, where is the money you raise going to go?
I don't understand. It goes in our cash register.
No, you're having a night to benefit firefighters.
Yes.
Well, where's the money going?
It's a firefighters-only night, and they get to eat our great steaks.
Is there a discount?
No, I thought I covered that with you.
Look at...
The president has asked that we circulate our money into the economy. I'd ask you, what kind of human garbage would I be if I lowered our prices or even kept them the same?
So you're inviting firefighters... Let me get this right.
Firefighters' night.
Yeah, on Friday. You're inviting all these firefighters to a firefighters' night, charging them the same amount of money you charge everybody else. So what's the attraction?
That they get to eat with only firefighters and be around...
Oh, come on, will you, man? That is no...
Phil, I'm going to say it again. The President of the United States...
Yes, has asked us to recycle our money into the economy, yada, yada, yada. You say you're having a firefighters' night.
We are doing something very special for the firefighters of this country and for the area firefighters. If you're a firefighter, come into Ted's of Beverly Hills. Only firefighters will be allowed in to eat.
But there's no discount on the price.
And again, I think it is very unpatriotic of you to...
Ted, you said...
Allow me to finish, because I think I'm entitled. Okay?
Go ahead.
I think it's extremely unpatriotic of you to bring up the fact that, yes, we have increased the price of our steaks modestly.
But you're not even giving the firefighters a discount. You call it a firefighters' night.
It is. It's a firefighters' night.
Because they're coming in. The only guys that go in there are firefighters, but you're not giving them a break in the price.
You know, every time you talk that way, Phil, and I'm going to say it to you, you help the enemies of America.
Okay, now that is going overboard.
No, about these organizations that want to bring America down, I think you helped them. And you came on this program under false pretenses. You told me you wanted to do something for the economy. So I came on, I said, yes, I'll do something for the economy. And I told you that we are inviting firefighters over.
The only thing you're doing here, man, is doing something for your economy, the economy of Ted's of Beverly Hills.
We're recycling money into the economy, though. And let me tell you something.
How does that, and by raising the price of steaks, what does that do?
By raising the price of a steak, you encourage even more money to go into the economy. Let me explain economics to you, if I could. When you charge a certain price for a steak, that money goes into the economy. If you charge more...
More money goes in.
Exactly. So by charging more money for our steaks, we are encouraging the circulation of money.
And so when these firefighters show up at your restaurant Friday night, they're going to be paying more money for a steak.
Yes.
Is that the first night you're going to have these price increases?
Yeah, we're allowing the firefighters to help the economy
by charging those guys more per steak.
Look, I own a restaurant, Phil, and I've been in the restaurant business for a long time. Believe me when I tell you, this is a good thing for America.
Look, I don't get, you know, if you want to charge more money for a steak and that's good for America, that's fine. But charging the firefighters that are going to be coming to a special benefit at your restaurant more money. Do you understand?
They get the chance.
They get the chance to stick more money to the economy before anybody else.
That's when the price increases take place, yeah. I don't understand why I have to come on your program and explain this. Because this is the problem. You don't own a business.
Well, it just seems weird, man, when you're talking about, hey, everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We'll buy a steak, and oh, yeah, we raised the price of a steak $4, and the first guys to have to pay it'll be firefighters. Anyway, Ted's of Beverly Hills is in Beverly Hills. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Maybe I'm not getting something here. He goes from $20.95 to $24.95 for a steak, and the first guys that'll have to pay it will be the firefighters at his big firefighters night. Isn't there like a benefit or something? Aren't you supposed to raise money for charities or something? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
President Bush has asked us to cycle money back into the economy, so I suggest you take any spare money you've got. Bring the family to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Great steak.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And you know that I have, and I know that you're a sponsor.
Well, that's the other thing. I pay good money to be on your program as an advertiser, and you're telling me what I'm supposed to do with my, with what I do with my restaurant.
I'm not doing that. I'm not saying anything other than I believe that you, if you're having a benefit for firefighters, you give the money to a charity.
No, that's not what you do. What do you mean give it to a charity?
You give the money to a charity.
No, the President of the United States, you know who he is, don't you?
Yes, President Bush.
All right, he has asked that we give money, put the money into the economy. The best thing I can do right now is to charge people more money for their steaks, and then my, you know, my family and I or whoever, my employees who get their paychecks, will go out and spend it. See, that's how economics works, Phil, and you have to, let me tell you something, before you get into an argument, you got to know what you're talking about.
All right, 1-800, can we take some phone calls?
I'd be happy to.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is with us. Phil, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, hi.
Ted, are you lining your own pockets with this or what?
Lining my own pockets? I make a profit from my restaurant business.
That's good, and you're going to go out and spend this money, and your employees are going to spend this money.
That's what we call recycling the money into the economy, as President Bush has asked us to do.
Are your employees getting raises, too, so they can spend the money?
My employees getting raises, we have are in discussion with them on that.
In discussion.
We had a bad year last
before,
year.
Just a minute ago, before you get into any argument, you say you should know what you're talking about.
Well, no, what I wanted to say is since the what happened September the 11th, yes, the restaurant business has dropped a little bit, so I had to cut back the salaries of my employees, but I'm hoping to give them their money back.
You cut their salaries. You cut their pay.
I had to.
I don't know. I've been listening to the show now since you got on the air. Here.
Right.
I guarantee you. I'm out
do
of
you understand? Do you understand economics?
Oh, yeah.
See, when you
but
charge more money, then it goes back into the economy.
Well, it does
like
eventually.
Like the firefighters that are going to spend their money Friday night.
The firefighters shouldn't be spending money tomorrow, that Friday night or whenever you're doing it. You ought to have that as a token gift to them.
Why would I do that?
Because of what they've been doing. The firefighters are giving their assistance to the guys in New York. That kind of a thing.
No. Exactly. I'm having a firefighter's
day. We've had people from Wichita show up in New York to do charity work to help.
I don't understand.
Charity work.
What?
Well, they went down to help any way they could for a week out of their
from where?
Schedules here in town.
Where's that?
From Wichita.
And they went to I don't understand. Look.
They went to New York to help.
Were they paid?
No, they weren't paid.
Well, I don't get it.
They went to New York to help the people.
I know who you're talking about, Phil. I'm just asking this guy who paid them. Who paid
them?
Well,
I'm sure our city paid them.
Well,
but they went to do volunteer work
there.
Now,
the other thing to answer your question about the money, our waiters should get tipped more because the bill will be larger. You see what I'm saying? So while I had to cut their salary, they'll get a bigger tip because I'm charging more for our steaks. And the firefighters, I'm sure because, firefighters and police officers, they drink. They'll drink more, the bar tab.
I have a real funny feeling you're not going to have too many people in your restaurant.
No. Friday night is firefighter night. Come on in.
Yeah, come on in and spend $4 more for a steak. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Jack, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I think this guy, he's calling you unpatriotic. I'm a graduate of the Wharton School and at the University of Pennsylvania, so I know economics pretty well.
I have
well,
my own
if you've
business.
Never heard of the
my
Wharton
own business.
School.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Listen, pal. If you are holding a benefit, the whole purpose of a benefit is to take a portion of
the
profit.
No.
You're not even worth talking to.
Wait a second. I'm telling you.
Give me my chance. I heard you.
Let the man speak, okay?
I know what a benefit is. We let the firefighters in, and they don't have to eat with guys like you, Phil, and this guy, because you guys...
Oh, guys like me, huh?
Phil, I'm going to tell you something. Lost a listener to your program.
Well, wait a minute.
You get rid of this guy.
Look at you. I'm benefiting
advertiser.
The firefighters.
And if half of the listeners
in
your show
the
do the same thing, you're an idiot, man. You're not benefiting anybody but yourself.
How do you figure?
You're just asking a guy. There's how many hundreds of firefighters and police officers went and gave of their own time, not looking for pay.
Are you telling me they weren't paid?
Their fellow Americans.
A lot of the guys who went to New York were not paid. They did it on their own time.
That's exactly right. They gave of their own.
How does
you
that
don't
work?
Understand it.
I don't get that.
I don't understand how you can be such a great American and charging firefighters $4 more. Hey, come into my restaurant. My benefits are, or my employees are going to benefit from it, but nobody else is.
On Friday,
firemen can sit and eat together. I got news for you, pal. Firefighters could care less about eating together in your restaurant. They'd rather eat in their own damn firehouse. You're an idiot.
How do you even know they're going to be firefighters that you're letting in?
I'm sorry?
How do you know the guys coming into your restaurant on Friday night are even going to be firefighters? There might be firefighters standing out in the street with their family because there's a bunch of people who aren't firefighters.
No. All firefighters have to wear their fire helmets, to be admitted.
You are an ass.
I'm making a guy wear a helmet.
No, you're an ass because you don't know what you're saying. You're talking about Phil being un-American.
Hey.
You're like the guy out in the Midwest after this happened.
You been out for a meal lately?
The gas prices, the $4 a
gallon.
Yeah,
what about that guy in Kansas was jacking the price to $4 a gallon?
The guy ought to be dragged behind a truck.
Well, what about you?
With him.
Hey, Jack, you went to the Warthog School or whatever that is. I learned my business.
I'm not even going to dignify you with a response.
Okay, so I'm not fancy schmancy. My father didn't send me to a great school. Okay, I had to learn from the ground up. And the way
you
learned
from the ground up how to take people over—that's what you learned.
$4 more for a steak, Ted.
Oh, will you get off of that?
President Bush said that we got to get the money back in the economy.
When's the last time you went out and had a meal? Probably
As
every day.
As a matter of fact, I went out tonight.
Yeah, well, I bet you eat out every day, all three meals, but I'm talking about getting a...
Okay, now you're getting personal with people, and we don't need that.
He's getting personal with me.
I'm calling you what you are.
You called
me a dickhead.
You didn't call him that. He called me a dickhead.
No, he did
no,
not.
I did not.
Well, didn't you just call me a dickhead?
No, I did not.
Well, the hell you didn't, because I...
He did not. Well, I've been listening to him.
Well, you got a tape. Heard... You play it back and you listen to
it. I will play
it back. If I called him that, then he doesn't know what he's talking about.
So in other words,
he ought to listen to people.
So in other words, I'm not a dickhead.
No, I would say that the way you act... Yeah, he didn't say that either.
Don't put words in my mouth.
You're either calling me a dickhead or you're not...
Will you get off of that? Let's get the firefighter... I'd be willing to do this. I'd be willing to pick up the tab for every firefighter that comes into your restaurant on Friday night. The Phil Henry Show will pick up the tab.
So now you're trying to make me look bad.
Yeah, you should make look bad.
No, see what he's doing? He's trying to twist it around and make me look like a piece of crap.
You are a piece of crap.
I'm a piece of crap.
Raising your price, $4 a steak, so the firefighters could come in and eat together.
But I'm not a dickhead.
Get off of that.
Who said it? You're the one that's calling yourself it.
No,
I didn't call it.
I thought I heard it.
You didn't hear it. Let Phil play the tape back.
I'll play the tape back and find out whether he said dickhead or not, okay?
Play the tape back. I kept calling him an
idiot. Do you have the tape?
I got it right here.
Okay, I heard dickhead.
I didn't hear a thing.
You didn't hear it from me.
Did you call me a dickhead, Phil?
Would we get off of that, please? Look, at every firefighter that comes into your restaurant on Friday night, I'll pick up the tab.
What if it's a $100,000 night?
Well, I'd like to see some accounting.
What a cheapskate.
Yeah.
Not only that, I think some of this money that he's making should be given to the firefighters and police officers in New York City.
949-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Go to philhendryshow.com. That's our website, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, philhendryshow.com. And today's Phil Hendry Polls America question, I can't say it on the air. How about that? Other than to tell you that the question is, I would rather not hear these words on the radio, and then we give examples of words that down through the years, our program, and I'm sure many programs, have gotten in trouble over using. And when I say trouble, I've never gotten in any really serious trouble. I've never been fined by the FCC. I've never run afoul of the federal government. And I don't think I've ever seriously run afoul of any one of our radio stations or any of our programmers, or I'm just a real great guy. What am I talking about? Now, actually, no, it hasn't, but I remember way back when. You want to hear a story? I'll tell you a story. I was on the air at KVEN in Ventura, which is where I started my talk radio career, and great people, but at the time that I was on the air there, I had only been employed there 3 weeks, and I said something on the air having to do with, I don't know what it was. It was some, really, I thought, benign remark having to do with a portion of a man's anatomy. And the next thing I know, I'm suspended for 3 days. And they've actually suspended me indefinitely. Now, I just had the job for 3 weeks. It wasn't really paying me all that much money. And that very weekend, as it turned out, I had an interview in Seattle, Washington. So I was on a plane flying to Seattle on the phone, on the air phone with my girlfriend, telling her where I was going and what had happened to me that day. And I fly to this gig, this meeting in Seattle, and it's with a program director at a radio station, and he had me go on the air and do my thing on the air. So I was auditioning while I was under, I wasn't even under contract to this other station. That's how I could do this legally. And so I did this gig, and here I am suspended from this radio station, but I'm being offered a job in Seattle. Now, I've been suspended for language that I used on the air in Ventura. I've been offered a job to work in Seattle. What do you think I did? I stayed in Ventura. And the reason why I stayed in Ventura is after we kissed and made up in Ventura, it was the best place to be. I was going to a radio station in Seattle I got bad vibes about. Got bad vibes about the management. And I told myself, at this point in my career, man, I got to make the decision based upon what's a good place to be, not necessarily what's the money. And God, did I need the money. Man, I really needed the bread. And they were, you know, you can imagine the money in Seattle is going to be a hell of a lot more than it is in Ventura. I mean, I was making $15,000 a year in Ventura, and they were offering me $20,000-$25,000 in Seattle. So I got to tell you, these guys are looking at me with a straight face. $20,000 or $25,000 in Seattle? Dude, this was in 1991. You figured you got to at least get 1990, at least get $50,000 a year in Seattle at minimum. And they were offering me, you're right, $35,000. So, and I did, and I didn't know. I was going back home to Ventura, not knowing whether I had a job or not, not knowing whether I, but I turned these guys down in Seattle. So that's really smart, Hendry. And as it turned out, everything kind of was cool. But it was uttering one of the words you will find on our website today that got me into the problem that I got into. So to sort of bring this story full circle and get us plugged right back into what we were talking about, go to our website, philhendryshow.com. And it lists a whole bunch of, and basically the question is, I would rather not hear these words on the radio. And then it lists a whole bunch of words. And the last option is, I'm cool with all of them. And we'll just view the results. 65% of the people voting said they're fine with all of these words. The most benign word on here is one that we just uttered in the preceding segment. I won't tell you which one. All the others I can't say. Well, I can say suck. Suck's on here too. Suck got 2% of the vote. GD is second with 20%. But first is, I'm cool with all the words. Anyway, go to our website, vote on it. You'll have a lot of fun. And by the way, Mike Schaefer, who is leaving our radio show after 2.5 wonderful years of service, I understand was taken out for drinks the other evening by our engineer, Craig Taylor, and was not let off at his door. He was poured out of the car. He wasn't just let off and, okay, see you later, Mike. Yeah, see you guys later. They dumped him on the street. The cat was dumped face first on the street outside of his car. 1-800-449-8686, the number here. So the wasps have returned to my backyard. I wanted to get this out of the way. We're going to talk about all manner of newsworthy things, but I just wanted to tell you the wasps have returned. I had a wasp nest in my barbecue, and my wife was stung by one of them, and I got really angry. And as I said on the air not too long ago, if you ever want to meet a disagreeable, obnoxious creature of this earth, the wasp, the hornet, for some reason was given a bad, disagreeable disposition by the good man upstairs, and this thing is a nasty, mean thing. And as I was out there last night, I was barbecuing some steaks. It was a beautiful evening, and I got some steaks going. It's just a nice thing. And we got a little refrigerator out there under the barbecue, so I went to open it, and sure enough, here come the wasps flying out from underneath that barbecue counter behind the refrigerator where I had initially killed these things. So I said to one of the kids, go get me that wasp spray. I ain't fooling around this time. Last time I turned a hose on them, I shorted out every light in my backyard. This time I took the wasp spray and I aimed directly for the right side of the refrigerator and I nailed these wasps. I must have killed about 8 or 9 of these things right off the bat. And of course, in the process, soaked my refrigerator with wasp stink and wasp poison. So I got to open that up, air that out. These things, in trying to get rid of them, I might have ruined a good meal because then I open up the lid to the barbecue while I'm cooking these steaks. It smells like wasp spray in here. I wasn't even trusting whether they had got somehow under the barbecue and funneled up into the barbecue. So I had to have my wife come out. Would you smell these steaks? And does this smell like Raid? And so they're back. How do I get rid of those things? I guess I got to get an exterminator. I'm going to have to hire a bloody exterminator. Ants, we got those. I got to hire an exterminator. I had an exterminator come out to the house and said, you know, what's up with this and how do you do that and what do we do? Let me tell you, sir, what we do is basically we, you know, trap them outside. We spray the inside of the wall. He gave me a big song and a dance, but for some reason I didn't get along with this guy, so I never hired this cat. He was laying some baloney on me. So we got ants. We got wasps. All we need now are rats. I got rabbits. They're crapping all over the lawn. I got raccoons. I've seen some possum. I've seen a couple of quail. There's some coyote. There's deer. My wife went down to the end of the road the other morning, saw deer. I said, did you shoot one? I mean, I'm just kidding about that. But the kids saw the deer. I don't see none of that. I see the bad stuff. They see the deer, and they see the rabbits, and they see the raccoon. I see the wasps and the stinking ants. Okay, hey, Preston, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah, say, I was wondering if you could take care of those wasps with a water and soap spray, and you don't have to worry about, you know, chemicals, screwing up your, all that.
Water and soap spray, huh?
Kills them out, man. I live in the woods in Michigan, and that's how we take care of them. It's amazing.
I guess I got to have to get there and make my own water and soap spray sprayed in.
Yeah, it's real easy. You can take any of that antibacterial stuff, any kind of soap, and it'll spray them down and don't have to worry about...
Spray that damn nest, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, pal.
Thanks a lot,
man. Thanks. Okay, this is Mother May's Home Remedies. Well, I don't know. But I'll try it because they come back and they're back with a vengeance. How about water and Irish Spring? Can't just be water and soap. It's got to be water and Dove. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I might start reading Time Magazine again. They got a pretty good article here, actually a pretty good issue. How real is the threat? And they talk about German chemical warfare, suicide bombers, nuclear weapons. A jittery nation needs to separate reality from rumor. Boy, ain't that the truth. And then they have the people with the gas masks. And the people who are running around and getting the Quran, and the people who want to get a map of Afghanistan. Nothing wrong with educating yourself. I think that's fine, getting the Quran and the map of Afghanistan. I think maybe the gas mask is a little overboard. I don't know of a gas mask that's going to keep you from getting a biological disease anyway. And in point of fact, who knows whether they got that stuff or not? Who knows whether they have any of that stuff? Who knows? Once again, it's like people attributing to the so-called enemy, wherever that thing is, stuff that they may not be able to do. But what they do have is they've got everybody running scared. Now, I heard Ashcroft say on before the Congress, well, the next one is, you know, there's still a threat of terrorism. There's still a very real threat of terrorism. Okay, great. And the next breath he says, but let's get back to normal. Look, there ain't no getting back to normal, which is in another article here in Time magazine that I like, and we've been saying it for weeks. There's no getting back to normal. There's getting back to feeling good about yourself and your life, but whatever you think normal is, and I suspect you might think it has something to do with the way things were before September the 11th, forget it, will you? It doesn't mean you got to be walking around sweating bullets and trying on gas masks. Or maybe I'm just a thick clod. You know what? I'm not going to hold on to life so tightly that I'm walking around in a gas mask. I'm not going to do it. I refuse. Any more than I would hold on to life so tightly that I would crawl into a hole in the ground, a bomb shelter, or a survival pit, or a Apocalypse Now hole, or whatever you want to call it these days. If I got to hold on to life that tightly, man, I am not that afraid of dying. I'm afraid of dying. Don't get me wrong. I'm very afraid of dying, but I'm not so freaking afraid of dying, I'm digging a bomb shelter. Or slapping a gas mask on. I mean, if the time comes, the time comes, right? If somebody comes to me with some kind of information and authority and says, okay, Henry, now's the time you got to get to put the gas mask on, all right, then I guess. But I'm not going to go on the basis of some paranoia that's sort of free-floating, this free-flowing anxiety that's been happening since September the 11th, and there's a whole lot of question marks and not a whole lot of answers, and so I might as well just run out and get gas masks, and I might as well get canned goods, and I might as well get, inoculate myself against the mumps or whatever they're going to be lobbing at us, and not go to malls and not go to cinemas and not go to places where the terrorists might be lurking, and... You can't do that. You can't do that. Can you be aware of the fact that our country is at war? Sure. What's wrong with that? We're at war. Going to be casualties. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a long haul. We're at war. But it doesn't mean that you're crawling into the hole right now. Anyway, Time Magazine. Oh, you mean we already get it and I don't pay for it because it's a media buy? Oh, okay. Thanks, Mike. Here is Steve. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Steve.
Hey, Phil. Very insightful things you're saying, and appreciate that. I just you were talking about your previous radio experience, and I just love to hear that kind of stuff because I'm an old DJ myself, but I don't have a syndicated talk show like you do. But I just love
you're saying that like it's some kind of a blessing.
Well, it's great.
I'm not lucky the way you are. Well, yeah, that's what I did. I went up to Seattle, and they offered me a job, and I said, nope. That was the first time in my life I turned down a gig, even though it was for more money. Dig that, you know?
Yeah.
Now, how many of us are going to do that? I mean, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else, but generally, if you're going to get you out of where you are and get you someplace else and it's more bread, you'll take the job. But at that point in my life, I was trying to be smart, maybe for the first time in my life, you know?
Okay.
So I guess you're the kind of guy that took all those gigs for money, and look where you are now?
Yeah, well, including one in Ventura.
Oh, did you work there?
Yeah.
What station did you work at?
Can I say? It was an FM, KGAB. I think it was 96 FM.
KGAB?
KGAB, that's right.
There was such a station in Ventura as KGAB.
There was. In fact, here,
I thought that was the one that Eric Bogosian worked on in talk radio.
It should be, right.
I think that's it was. Right. It was KGAB in Dallas.
I think it might have been. But they actually had a bit in 1980 because the Iranian hostage thing was going on, and he wanted us for the call letters in the intro to say, not just the call letters, but Khomeini... Give Americans back.
At the beginning of the ID?
Yes.
This is KGAB Ventura. Khomeini, give America back.
Yes.
Or no, give the hostages back. No,
well, give America back. Yeah, give Americans back, I guess.
Give American back. Wait, we have to rewrite that, Eddie. Hold on. KGAB Ventura. Give American back to me. We can't do this right. Can we get someone from the university? Okay.
I just would love to hear you do more. I mean, I didn't realize...
About my radio career? I got a million stories.
Oh, would love to hear you do them sometime. Put that on a CD.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll buy it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks for calling. I would think the only people to buy that crap are people who weren't in radio. Because everybody in the business has got some cornball story. Things worked out for me, though, in the last 10 years, because I got canned from that gig in Ventura. I went to Atlanta, got canned from that gig, went to Minneapolis, and here's how I knew my life was finally changing. The general manager at the station in Minneapolis hated my guts, but offered me an extension on my deal. Now, that's when you know you're doing something right, that the GM, even though he can't stand you or your show, is offering to extend your contract. And so, you know what I said to him? I said, no, thanks. I'm going to Miami, which is what I did. I left Minneapolis, and who wouldn't? Can you imagine? I'll never forget getting to Miami after Minneapolis. I was my bones for a year in the snow. You're cold. It's like you'll never thaw out. And I laid on the beach for 2 days, and that ain't no lie. 2 days I laid on the beach as soon as I got down there, and I got down there in the spring, and the weather was, yeah, it was just great. It was like mid-80s, and I didn't get off the beach for 2 days. And just, you know, hung and got that crap out of my system. And then Miami fired me in 2 weeks, and I went to Minneapolis. But anyway, I'm kidding. That didn't happen, as far as I know. Okay, let's go to another thing that I don't know what I'm doing. Sandy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there, how are you?
Hi, Sandy.
I just wanted, you were commenting about living your life and not worrying about, you know, what's going to happen and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've always lived, my father has this really great quote that says, the old must die, the young may die, and a wise man knows not which.
Cool.
And I have always just lived by that.
I understand that, Sandy, even though most of our listeners didn't.
My life's kind of like been yours. You know, every time a door slams on me, I get beautiful windows that are opened up.
Well, and that's the way it's got to be, you know. And you know, I think about people who have sort of just plodded through disastrous experience. I mean, like in World War II, when London was being bombed and the people would go to the bomb shelters and then they'd come out of the bomb shelters and they'd push on with their lives and they'd dig themselves out of the rubble and then another air raid siren. And they did. They lived like that for 4 years. I mean, we're sitting here in absolute paranoia as the result of a relatively, and it's a terrible thing for us, but in comparison, a relatively smaller event, that being the destruction of two buildings in New York. And maybe we need to take a couple of lessons here from people that have been through this stuff. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, right, definitely. I'm
not trying to minimize anybody's grief or anything, but, you know.
Oh, no, it was horrible. I have my car is painted. You know, I have a big flag on the back of my car. It says Land of the Free, Home of the Brave.
Right, yeah.
You know, but we're lucky it was just two buildings. But I don't want to minimize just two buildings either.
But, I mean, you know, if the people in London could live through the Blitz year in and year out, day in, day out, with air raid sirens and going down and coming up, and they survived, and their country survived, their society survived, we're going to be okay, you know?
Oh, yeah,
but
definitely.
If we run around like Panic in the Year Zero, did you ever see that movie with, you know, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. There's this really freaky flick called Panic in the Year Zero with Ray Milland and Frankie Avalon, and a nuclear bomb hits L.A., and
oh,
it's
God.
About, yeah, it's about this family that takes off into the woods. And tries to, thanks for your call, Sandy, and tries to, you know, get away from the nuclear blast. And it's just about the freaky paranoia about robbing liquor stores. And it's just nuts. Actually, the story I could handle, it was just Frankie Avalon I was having a hard time, you know. Panic in the Year Zero, get it. I watched it like a solid week. Channel 9 used to have the million-dollar movie at night at 7:30, and they ran it every night at 7:30. So I watch this like five nights a week. Yeah, five nights running. Panic in the Year Zero. Now I own it. And I go home and I watch it five nights a week. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.